In what sense is God's presence always with us? In the Bible, the presence of God is often associated with His glory. And God's glory has often been illustrated by a cloud that God dwelt in, and a shining cloud or a brilliant cloud of God's presence among His people. When they left the Red Sea, when the tabernacle was filled with the presence of God, and it was sometimes known as the Shekinah among the Hebrew people. But in what sense is God's presence always with us today? We're glad that you're all here this morning. Thank you for coming. We're happy to have visitors with us. And we're especially happy to have our family together. This is a special day for Karen and I because 40 years ago, we sealed our marriage vows together. May 17th, 1975, and those have been 40 wonderful years, and God has been so good to us, and I'm hoping that Karen will be willing to spend the next 40 years with me as well, and we look forward to that. But when we stood up together that night and said, "I do," it was just the two of us and our parents and our brothers and sisters. And now we are happy to have today our four daughters and our four son-in-laws and our ten grandchildren all together here this morning. So it's a special time for us. The book of Ezekiel is a book about the glory of God. And it begins in the very first verse telling about the condition of Ezekiel as he is writing in the first person and identifying the time and the events that are taking place. He said, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were open and I saw visions of God." Most adults typically look forward to their 30th birthday. They are beyond their 21st, just starting out, and they certainly have not reached 40. And so it's an exciting time. Their career is just beginning to take off, and their family may be growing or just beginning. But for the prophet Ezekiel, the 30th birthday of his life may have been the hardest day of his life for him. Because he had spent his whole life really preparing for the priesthood, to serve in the temple in Jerusalem with the other priests, which official duties would begin at age 30, according to Numbers chapter 4 in the old law. But unfortunately, Ezekiel, along with other captives of the nation of Israel, was carried away captive as a hostage to the Kibar River at the age of 25. And now, 5 years later, has gone by, and he has reached his 30th birthday, and all he could think of was what might have been if he had been still living there in the land of Jerusalem. What can a priest do, really, if he is 700 miles away from the temple? And all Ezekiel could probably think about was, if I was just back home in the place of my growing up, today would be a great day of celebration. But here I am, stuck in this foreign country, 700 miles from the temple. And so it must have seemed like a disaster for Ezekiel. He was a man that his hopes had been crushed, really. And if he could have only been living in another time, another place, could have been different. But circumstances seemed to block his place of fulfillment of his dreams and his hopes. And so he was living here, dwelling among the other discouraged, confused people in this place called Babylon, near Babylon, not even in the city of Babylon, but off in the country somewhere by the river Kebar. And yet, something wonderful was about to happen in Ezekiel's life. Now, perhaps you can relate to this in your life. Maybe some of us here this morning, we have had hopes and dreams, and yet we find ourselves sometimes in life in places that we didn't expect to be. And we sometimes might be feeling a lot like Ezekiel must have felt here when he got to his 30th birthday thinking, what is God doing in my life? Why am I here? Why am I not in Jerusalem, able to begin my work, my life's work as a priest? Why does God have me here in this place? Some of us might wonder those same questions sometimes in our life. And yet, something wonderful here is about to happen, as we see here. As I was among the captives by the river Kebar, that the heavens were opened, he said, and I saw visions of God. So it was here in this place, on this day in Ezekiel's life, that God came down and showed a vision to him. God met with this man, disappointed as he was, and in doing so, Ezekiel discovered something much greater about his life than what it would have been to be there in Jerusalem even, and experience that, and began his duties lighting candles or offering sacrifices, because God was about to show him his glory. And from that, Ezekiel was to be able to find the direction of his life that he was looking for. And for us, whenever we face those times of confusion, those times that we wonder what is God doing in our life, if we can get a glimpse also of the glory of God and realize that God is there present with us, we can find also the direction that we need in our lives today. Ezekiel here saw something coming out of the north. He said, I saw coming out of the north an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. So as he looked into this cloud, Ezekiel saw some amazing things. He saw four living creatures, and the glory of God began to appear to him in this cloud. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, he said, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. Now these four living creatures were very unusual, and Ezekiel noticed that about them. The faces of these four living creatures, they were winged with four wings that were attached, and they had four faces that faced in all four different directions, each one of these creatures. And the faces would represent the pinnacle of God's creation in all different areas. The face of a lion, which would often speak about nobility among the animals. the ox, which speaking of strength, and the eagle, which may represent speed or height, and finally the face of a man, the very height of the creation of God, made in the image of God. So these were very unique and very catching to him as he was watching this vision. These were later described in the 10th chapter of Ezekiel as being cherubim. In other words, angelic beings. But as Ezekiel looked at them, he noticed the features of the living creatures. And then, as he watched this vision even further, they were positioned, he said, in a kind of a square, and their wings were connected. And above them there was an expanse like a sparkling like ice. And then above that was a platform, and on that was the throne of God. Ezekiel saw an amazing vision of God in this. And he said in verse 28, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell down. Now, above this vision, Ezekiel saw wheels. And most people who have never really even read the book of Ezekiel have heard the song, Ezekiel Saw the Wheels. It's an old Southern spiritual gospel song. And it's a great, great song. Ezekiel saw the wheels way up in the middle of the air. And it just goes on. And it really gets into the story about Ezekiel and the wheels. And these wheels that he saw were sparkling and they were spinning. And he noticed that they were able to move in two different directions. They could move forward and back. They could move to the right or to the left. Not diagonally, but they were able to move in all different directions. Yeah, that would be kind of neat if you could have your car do that, because you could pull into a parallel parking space. You just pull forward and then put it into lateral mode and just slide in there. That would be kind of neat. And he also noticed about these wheels that they had the ability to lift up, to move up and down. And people, you know, who are excited about UFOs, they love the book of Ezekiel. This has nothing to do with UFOs. It's about the glory of God. But Ezekiel saw that these cherubim were able to move. They were able to lift up. They were able to go in all different directions with these four faces. And above that was supporting the throne of God. So Ezekiel, as he thought about this, he realized that this was an incredible vision. And he kept looking up higher and higher and higher, and he could see the throne of God above all of this. And that is where he makes this statement. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell down, face down. Ezekiel, as he thought about this, must have realized one thing out of this, and that is that God is able to go wherever he wants to go. God is not locked in over Jerusalem. He is able to lift up, he is able to move, he is able to be over in the east where the people of the captivity are located. And he is very exalted above the earth. And that vision of the glory of God, Ezekiel was able to be encouraged by that, that God is able to be with his people even though they are not in the land of Judea and near the temple in Jerusalem. God is able to lift up and be where they are. It was a vision that was very encouraging to Ezekiel in his state of mind at this time. Well, sometime later passed by, maybe another couple of years, in the 8th chapter, and there was a day that he describes when the elders of the people came to his home. It came to pass in the 6th year, in the 6th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me there. Now, this time he saw, was able to see in a vision that while he was here with these elders of the people, the Spirit, he said, lifted me up between earth and heaven and brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Ezekiel sees another vision. And in this vision, he is sitting there in his home in Babylon by the river Kebar. But he is lifted up by the Spirit of God, and he is taken over 700 miles to where he can see the temple, what's going on inside the temple. And what he sees there first is this object of idolatry that is now in the temple, where the altar of sacrifice, the altar that God would have authorized to be there, it has been moved over out of the way. Instead, there is a huge image that is a pagan idolatry image of some kind, the image of jealousy, because God is a jealous God, and for his people to be worshiping an image of idolatry, God is jealous of that. He wants his people to worship him and him alone. Ezekiel saw in this vision that something terrible was happening there in the temple. Not only did he see that, he saw the 70 leaders of the people all falling in and worshiping in this idolatry. He saw false prophets there telling the people that Jerusalem is never going to fall. Jerusalem is God's place. God will never abandon the city of Jerusalem. But Ezekiel was seeing that the temple was being used as a place of idolatry. And the Lord then brought Ezekiel closer. And there was a hole in the wall that he could look through. He says, and God invited him to look inside closer what was happening. As he looked through this hole and through this door that opened, Ezekiel saw on the walls of the temple all sorts of animals that were being worshipped as further pagan objects. The whole temple was being desecrated. And Ezekiel realized that God isn't pleased with what's going on in the temple in Jerusalem at all. Terrible things are happening there. There are signs of astrology that have been painted on the walls. There are detestable animals. There are all sorts of images that should not be there adorning the walls of the temple of Jerusalem. It's an awful thing that he sees. So God is making it clear to Ezekiel that even though his presence is there, his presence is not going to stay there. These obscene things, and the priests were saying to the people, "The Lord does not see us," in Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. That is one thing that people lose sight of when they are not worshiping God. They lose sight of the fact that God sees what they are doing that is displeasing to him. There's no place that God cannot go. There's nothing that God does not see among His people. And so it was very clear to Ezekiel that the days of the temple were numbered in Jerusalem. As the vision continued in Ezekiel chapter 10 and verse 4, then Ezekiel saw what was inevitably bound to happen. And he said, "Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with a cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory." Ezekiel saw in the same vision then this platform with the wheels and the animals, that this presence of God was coming to the door of the temple, preparing to leave. It was moving away from the center of the sanctuary, in other words, toward the door. And the simple message behind that was that God was getting ready to leave His temple. And so then in Ezekiel 10 and 18, he goes on to say, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim." The glory of the Lord departed from the temple in Jerusalem, in other words. It had been there, God had been enthroned there in His presence of His cloud of His glory, and now it was leaving the temple. Ezekiel was seeing this in the vision from where he was living. The great question in Ezekiel's mind was, where is it going? Where is this vision? Where is this presence of God moving to? And it says in chapter 11, verse 23, "So the cherubim lifted up their wings with the wheels, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain which is on the east side of the city." Ezekiel witnessed then the presence of the Lord leaving Jerusalem and moving to the east. That's where the people of Israel were in captivity, where Ezekiel was, in the east. The presence of the Lord was leaving Jerusalem, and it was now coming to be where the people were. And God explained to Ezekiel here in verse 16, "Thus says the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone." And he said, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be my God." Ezekiel must have been very encouraged when he saw this vision and what the meaning of it really was for Ezekiel and the others' benefit. And that was that God was now making it clear that He is among the people there in Babylon. Even though they have been displaced and they have been put into captivity, God is not dwelling over the temple in Jerusalem at all. He has moved His presence to be with His people where they are. And Ezekiel is right in the center of things that God is doing. His life is not turning out to be a waste after all. His life is turning out that God has put him there where he needs to be, so that he can be working with these people who have been taken away from their homeland. So Ezekiel takes that to heart. And for the next 20 years, he works there among the people, realizing that this is the work that God has called him for. When you come to the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, now it says that in the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, In the 14th year, after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain. Well, 20 years have gone by since the first vision that Ezekiel saw. He is still there living by the river Kebar. He's now 50 years old. And God speaks to him again and gives him another vision. This time he is taken back over to a high mountain in the land of Israel. And this time he sees a vision of a massive temple. This temple that he sees this time is not measured in yards, but in miles. It is a gigantic place of worship that Ezekiel views. The scale of this temple is emphasized over and over in this last part of the book of Ezekiel. The huge measurements of the walls, the huge measurements of the gates are all given in detail. And there are things about this temple that are completely different than the temple that had existed before. There is no veil in the holy place. There is not any court of women or a court of Gentiles. It is a different temple that he sees. And it appears to be a temple for all people to come into the presence of God. He describes this and says that the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell on my face. What he sees then is that God's presence goes into this new temple. And he realizes here that the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces toward the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So Ezekiel sees in this third vision the glory of God now returning to a new temple. A much larger one. And there is a lot of discussion about what the meaning of this temple is. Some see it as being in the future in heaven, or some see it being rebuilt in the land of Israel at some literal time in the future. But the message of the vision is that God's presence is coming back into his temple. That he hasn't abandoned his temple. He hasn't abandoned his people. Ezekiel had started out, he was very discouraged, thinking that he has been placed over here far away from the center of where things are happening. He comes to realize that God is actually working there among him and preparing him for the people to have a new heart. And then a new temple where God's presence will go back into that new temple. And there will be a great city, and the whole world, people of every tribe and nation, and they will no longer have idols that they are worshiping, but they will be worshiping the true and living God. This question, what is God doing in my life, has been answered by Ezekiel, by God. He saw the glory of God when he was 30 years old. He was a young man that was very zealous for God, that wanted to spend his life serving God, but his hope had seemed to be denied and crushed. And very little hope of anything being done to repair that. But God reached out to him in these visions and showed him that God's presence was still among his people. Like I say, many of us may have felt this way at times in our life. What is God doing? Why am I here? Why is my life not working out the way I envisioned it was going to work out? And yet, God has placed us where we are in life for a purpose. That God can be among us. God's presence is able to move to different places. And God is still able to be there where we are if we are willing to be His servants and do His will. The lessons that Ezekiel was being taught are lessons that we all need to learn. There is nowhere that God cannot go. And that's true of our lives just as it was for Ezekiel. There is nothing that God cannot see. If there is sin happening in our nation or in our presence, God sees that. We should not think like the people of the priests of Israel that God cannot see what's happening here. God does see the sin that is happening, that He is a jealous God. He does not tolerate that happening among His people or among His church today. But God has a work for you wherever you are. God can use you. He's never going to abandon His true people who are serving Him with their hearts and have the right heart to God. God's glory and His blessings are not limited. And so therefore, it is better to be in Babylon, where the presence of God is, than to be in Jerusalem without the presence of God. That is something that God was teaching Ezekiel. You may think you want to be in Jerusalem, but you really don't need to be in Jerusalem. You don't want to be in Jerusalem. What's happening in Jerusalem is not good. You're here where you need to be in your life. If you're willing to be faithful, I will use you and I will bless you. Now, we move forward and we come to the times of the New Testament. And we see that this message is still very much for us today, the glory of God. Because God, not only the temple of Jerusalem, He had His presence there, but in a much greater way, God sent His Son down to this earth to dwell here among us in the flesh. Jesus Christ came to this earth and He was God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us and we beheld His glory. This is John 1 and verse 14. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. I would say to you that to see the glory of God through Jesus, as we have the benefit, is much greater than being able to be in Jerusalem and be a priest or enter into the temple there and offer sacrifices to God. We have the Son of God that has come. And we are able to behold His glory. But just like the temple in Jerusalem, the presence of God can leave just like it has come there to begin with. And when the presence of God leaves from the church, it's just a dead corpse. A church without Christ's presence is like the temple without God's glory. What was it that Jesus in the book of Revelation was speaking to the churches about this? He was saying in the different congregations there that if you do not repent and do the works that I would have you to be doing, the candle will be removed. The candlestick will be removed. That a church without Christ is empty. And if the Spirit of God and if the work of the Lord is not being carried on, God's presence cannot be there in that place. And yet God is able to move and God is able to go in different directions where His people are hearing Him and where they are listening to Him and doing His will. God's going to be there among those people. That's the message that Ezekiel is being shown, that we are being shown. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and height and the depth. This would be the glory of God, that we are able to sense and realize the glory and the presence of God among us when we are excited about doing His will and living for Him. God is going to be there in the midst of us when we're doing that. God's not going to be in some temple, some big elaborate building that is empty, that God's people there are not serving Him. His presence is going to leave a place like that. It's going to be where people are serving Him faithfully among those people. And we're told that the Apostle Paul, even writing in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that we all need to be diligent in our faith and in our life. He says there, "Everyone who competes in the games, he competes for the prize, but they do it to obtain an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." In other words, the presence of God can leave if we aren't faithful to Him. That's the warning for all of us, that wherever we are serving God, wherever we love Him and have Him in our hearts and are faithful to Him in our lives, God is going to be there among us. And that's where He wants us to be. God's not concerned about how big the building is or how many people there are. He's concerned about the hearts of the people being faithful to Him, and Him being able to come and go there and be among that work where God's people love Him and serve Him with pure hearts. And so we see the glory of God is a wonderful message of encouragement that Ezekiel shares with us. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song that has been selected this morning. We hope that if you are here present today, and if you need to respond to the gospel of Christ, Jesus is inviting you to come to Him, repenting of your sin, confessing your faith, to be buried with Him in baptism this morning, and raised up in newness of life. And if you are here subject to that, and if you have not obey the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come this morning as we together stand and sing the invitation. 169.